Three of Hearts is a podcast of queer joy and silly laughs coupled with sad people and grave danger. Content warnings can be found in the episode description.
Previously on Three of Hearts. Spar dreamed about threads of magic leaving the world, only to be pulled down beneath Clovenheart by tendrils made of Providence and Pandemonium's playing cards. He and Velum awoke to a chaotic morning, in which Jakob and Ishbala had picked up said playing cards to chaotic, but largely harmless effect. After warning the community about the potential danger of the cards, and making sure the Felspar family didn't have any more big secrets, the boys and Ishbala hit the road to Stoneloft in Ishbala's new magic car, joined by Josepha, Sorrel, and Mirafina.
We are cruising south of Clovenheart, along a dirt road, certainly not meant for cars of this power. Probably not really cars at all. I assume since most communities in this world are like kind of insular, like there really aren't paved roads between towns. And the car, that's like, you know, the car paths are in town, probably more like old-fashioned travel between towns if it ever happens. By which I mean like horse or perhaps motor-drawn vehicles. Anyway, we're driving, we're speeding south with the Honda, which Ishbala has named Tomorrow's Problem. She's having the time of her life.
Remind me who all's on our road trip.
Yes. I think riding shotgun, we have Josepha. And then in like the middle seat area is, I want to say, Mirafina and Sorrel. And then in the back is Velum and Spar.
Okay. That's everyone I thought. I just wanted to make sure I wasn't forgetting anyone.
Mm-hmm. So I have a question. I think there's like a certain amount of like catching up that various people would be doing mm-hmm. on this road trip. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, Sorrel doesn't really know what happened in Cindershore. Mm-hmm. And neither really does Josepha. So we don't really have to play that out in character necessarily, but like, would you guys like fill them in? How much do you tell people? Does Spar keep his mom's secret close to his chest? Like, I'm kind of curious about that.
I think Spar is not going to like, as far as like the contents of what we've seen so far, Spar is not going to talk about Jasper directly unless it becomes unavoidable because he promised not to like out them without giving them heads up. Mm-hmm. And he's not going to bring up the mom Godex stuff. I think like he won't deny it if it comes around to it, but it doesn't seem from his perspective what he would view as like the plot of the mission.
Right.
As opposed to what I view as the plot of the show.
Yeah.
Godex mom isn't part of the mission, but if Sorrel wanted to talk about it, or if Sorrel wanted to explain stuff, or if somebody asked a question about it, I think he would explain with the minimum amount of explaining that he can get away with. And so those are the only things I think he would. And he's not going to talk about sacrificing his mortality if he can avoid it.
Okay, sounds good. I forget, does Sorrel know about that?
I don't think so.
I think the only one that knows about it is Luna right now.
Yeah.
Luna and Velum.
I was trying to remember, did Spar talk to Velum about it?
Yeah, I think when you guys were in the hover car, Spar.
Yeah.
That episode, the big gay episode, Spar told Velum about it.
That really narrows it down.
The one and only queer episode of this podcast.
Uh-huh.
Jordan, I keep trying to talk to you about your homophobia.
Okay, I'll try to make it gayer. I'm so sorry. Okay, so
I think Velum will also share some details of what was going on in Cindershore to people that weren't there. Maybe not going into all the nitty-gritty details of what Gray was planning, but mentioning that they seem to be involved. That way, the other people perhaps would be aware of if they see Gray, it could potentially complicate things more.
Yeah. Okay.
Would you have talked about how Gray is planning to do stuff in Clovenheart? Or would you just have been like, Gray's involved in this plot?
I think first he's probably still thinking about and is concerned by Gray's desire to bring Vellum's parents back. He might want to chat with Merafina about that and get her two cents on it. As far as Gray wanting to, I don't even know the words.
Well, like, let me put it this way. It's like, what I'm asking is, so if Gray wants to use the deck to bring back Vellum's parents, the deck is under Clovenheart, we're pretty sure. Which means that Gray may be trying to get into Clovenheart, or Gray may be, like, in other ways messing with Clovenheart so that she can get into Clovenheart, stuff like that. So I guess I'm sort of asking, like, would you phrase it in those terms, or would you be more vague about Gray is involved in stuff?
Like, I think Vellum doesn't want to talk about Gray's whole idea about the radio towers and stuff, because Vellum is hoping that we can prevent that from happening, and he doesn't want them to panic.
But would you mention that Gray's after the deck? It's presumably underneath Clovenheart. I think that's the important thing.
Yeah, I think Vellum would bring up that Gray and Governor Thorne were both after the deck, and that Diamond has a vested interest in the deck as well.
Okay. Merafina is going to look back at Vellum and say, I'm just curious, Apprentice Vellum. How invested are you in your uncle's continued safety?
That's a tough question. You know, if you'd asked me a month ago, it would be a different answer. I am still very worried about my uncle. I care a lot about my uncle. They're the only family I really have. However, I'm not sure that I can trust them. And Miss Merafina, Gray told me that she wants to bring my parents back from the dead, and I can't imagine that that is a good thing to do as far as magic is concerned. Or science, really.
Merafina nods and says, okay, so if hypothetically, I had to remove one of Gray's hands as a dire warning not to fuck with Clovenheart, how would you feel about that?
A little alarmed, but I think I would understand.
I think we're going to be a great pair, Agent Vellum.
I hope it doesn't come to that, but
she just goes back to looking ahead at the road.
Vellum just kind of shuts his mouth and nods, like,
I think another part where someone would have reacted to the story, I think whoever mentioned that Veracity was killed, Josepha would, like, whip her head and look right at them. I'll just say the both of you. And they say, are you certain that Veracity is dead?
You know, Spar says, folks keep asking us that. And I haven't gotten...
I think that nervous laugh was in character, by the way.
I haven't gotten more certain about it in the past day, but there was sort of a dust ash situation. Is that conclusive?
Dust is pretty conclusive.
Spark gives Josepha a thumbs up.
Vellum also gives a thumbs up.
She says, good job.
I
thanks.
Hate to say it, but I hope they stay dead.
I would agree. You know, a lot of people have died fighting for Asity. And I'm glad that the two of you are not counted among those numbers. And if it is true that there will be no one else, that is incredible. And a bit of a weight off my mind. Thank you.
Spar tips an imaginary hat and says, always happy to help, ma'am.
She doesn't laugh at that. She just looks at looks at the road.
Vellum will squeeze Spar's hand.
Spar squeezes back.
Sorrel, flies up and is, peering, at the... You know how, the back headrest of, a modern car, you can, lift it up a little bit?
Mm-hmm.
Sorrel is, peeking, it's raised, and she's, peeking at you, but, through the slot that would be created there. And she's, Spar, that day sounds crazy. Are you okay?
You know, it was a long day.
It's a very long day.
He kind of trails out. There is going to be more to that sentence, and it just doesn't happen.
She says, okay, well, I've been doing yoga lately and meditation, and it's helped. I don't know if it helps with days where you have to kill a terrorist and then you go to jail and escape jail. But I mean, it probably won't hurt.
And days when the terrorist is also a distant relative.
Yeah, does Spar share that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that probably happened when he sat... When he sat the family down, the Felspar family as it is, and was like, all right, what else? What other family secrets are
any
there?
More secrets?
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
We have to stop meeting like this.
Would it have come up in the car?
I don't know. There's sort of, probably at some point, I think, for telling the whole veracity thing.
Okay.
Also, I imagine that everyone in the car already knows.
I mean, I don't think Merafina and Josepha knew.
I figured Merafina and Josepha were old enough they might have met Marum Felspar, a.k.a. Veracity, before they became Veracity.
Josepha was working really closely with Veracity for, it sounded like, a while. I'd be surprised if that didn't come up somewhere in the... Especially with Josepha being close to the family through Terra. That would be a weird omission for her not to know.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense.
And Merafina just knows a bunch of mysterious shit.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay. I would say after, basically around the time the story gets told. Sorry, I said we're going south first, but we actually have to go slightly north first to pick up our stuff. A 30-minute drive north, and you guys are a little bit outside Cindershore. And there is, some landmark. What's a good landmark?
A mountain with a very particular shape to it, or a cliff face.
I was going to say a really, really old tree that has a face on the tree. It's not alive or anything, but the tree does have a human looking face on it.
Oh, okay, good.
Nobody knows if it was carved that way, if it was grown that way. It's just it has one. And it's a really good illicit meeting spot outside of Cindershore. It's yeah, I'll meet by the face tree.
That's what everyone calls it, the face tree.
Yeah, of course. What else are you going to call the tree with the face on it?
I mean, I figured you might give a name to it. Maybe it has some sort of old folktale associated with it. But face tree's good, too.
People in the know call it Old Lady Wildament. And people not in the know call it the face tree.
Okay. Thank you. That's all I wanted.
And when you arrive at the face tree, there is a dark-skinned, greaser-looking person with many facial piercings.
Is it someone that Vellum recognizes?
That's a really funny question. Does Vellum know every greaser?
I don't know. I just think they could have run in the same circle.
Yeah, I know. I love that so much. Can you flip... what's a good flip for this? Flip...
something streetwise?
Yeah, I want to say like a charm streetwise.
Charm or presence?
Yeah, charm, presence, and streetwise.
I'm going to go presence, because also, like, presence kind of has, like, an intimidation thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe if Vellum was one of the first greasers, maybe he's got, like, a...
a rep.
Intimidation factor.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so presence is three, streetwise is two, one for healthy, one for eclectic. What do we got? We got a king and a joker, and that's it.
Okay. You vaguely recognize this person. You don't remember their name, but you know you've done something to upset them. And what was it?
Oh. And what was it?
Yeah.
Maybe they had, like, a little bit of a turf thing going on. Maybe.
Okay. T-U-R-F, not T-E-R-F.
Yeah.
For sure. All turfs in this world, T-E-R-Fs, were put to death.
Maybe Vellum had a cooler-looking jacket than them. Which is, okay. You know... I don't know, maybe, like, this guy, like, showed up to the greaser hang session and was showing off his cool jacket, and then Vellum walked in, and his jacket was way cooler. I don't know.
Can I propose something?
Go for it.
Vellum accidentally insulted this person's boo.
Insulted Ooh. This person's...
Their main squeeze, their honey, the person that with okay. whom they go steady.
Yeah.
And, like... He didn't mean to. Like, Vellum wasn't trying to be a dick. Like, it just, he fumbled it, and then the insult this person remembers.
Mm-hmm. That's really
Oh,
funny.
No. So Vellum recognizes this person. Do they recognize Vellum?
That's a good question, too. I'm going to say almost certainly yes when I end up before. I'm going to get them.
We also got to come up with a name for this person.
Oh, I know. No, this is a character. I know who this is.
Oh, okay.
You just didn't flip it well enough to know their name.
Sadness.
You know what's so funny? They also flipped one success in a joker. So they have the exact same thing. Like, they don't remember your name. They're like, oh, I fucking hate that guy.
Did they also accidentally do something to annoy Vellum?
No, I think it's just that, like, they hate you for this reason, and they don't remember your name, though.
I'm just trying to figure out what the Joker is for them.
That's a good point. I guess it should be something different.
What if it became, like, a compounding, what's the word I want? What's the opposite of a pact? Feud. If it became, like, a compounding feud over time of, like, an escalation of, oh, well, you're being rude to me, well, I'll be rude to you.
Oh,
you're
fun.
Being a little bit of a dick to me, I'll be a little bit of a dick to you.
Misunderstandings.
Yeah.
So, like...
Okay.
That's how we got to 15, 20? 20 years later?
Yeah.
Still being like, I fucking hate that guy. I don't know who he is, but fuck him.
That's why, yeah, 20 years later, about... you guys remember each other, but not each other's names. They are leaning on the tree. Next to them is a motorcycle, and there is two cardboard boxes next to the tree as well.
Vellum bristles when they see this person.
Hold on, I have to flip something.
Does Destiny also bristle? Can she sense Vellum's uncomfortableness?
Yeah, I think so. She hisses a little bit. And so Ishval is, like, stopping the car. And Josepha turns around and is like... Or Josepha, like, sees Vellum in the rearview mirror, like, getting upset. Josepha's like, is something wrong, Agent Vellum?
Vellum, like, clenches his jaw a little bit. She's like, fucking asshole.
Spark, who is sort of half dozing because no one's speaking to him directly, mm-hmm. when Destiny hissed, he reached up and petted Vellum's hair.
That's amazing. Oh. Yes, Josepha sees that and doesn't remark on it. And says, did you just call him a fucking asshole?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. That is my partner, Devante. They are not the fucking asshole.
Vellum opens his mouth. Vellum closes his mouth. Vellum feels very awkward.
Spar sort of sits up a little bit and stretches. What's going on? Are we fighting? Is it fighting time?
Josepha says, apparently it might be.
Great. Who's on what side?
Your boyfriend here seems to have issues with my partner. And I'm just trying to figure out why.
Oh. Well, tag me in if you need me. As far as that's and sort of like snuggles back down again, is dozing against Vellum's shoulder.
You know, maybe it's been long enough. I'm sure we can settle our differences like adults.
And Josepha looks back at Devante and sees that they are now looking at Vellum and like they look upset. And Josepha's like, good God, that's gracious. Okay. Well, that's up to you. If you want to stay in the car and I will go talk to Devante, or you can come with me, I suppose. If you think that this is a good time to bury the hatchet.
Spar pats at Vellum and says, go on, go make nice.
Okay. Vellum will extract himself from Felspar and hand Destiny to Felspar, saying, keep her safe.
Spar sneezes. Uh-huh.
And Vellum will go with Josepha to talk to Devante and, like, cross his arms over his chest and try to calm himself down, you know, take some deep breaths.
This is not the reason that Spar sent Vellum out to go, you know, do something psychologically healthy, but he does take the opportunity to stretch out full length across the now free seat.
Uh-huh.
I want to hear something in the car really quick, and then we'll cut away. And each fellow is going to say, Spar, this is probably a good time as any if you need to, like, pee or something.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay, you're just going to take a nap?
He's already asleep again, yeah.
She says, okay, I kind of want, well, we can talk later.
Yeah. No, what do you?
Nope, go to bed.
No,
go to bed.
No, I'm up now. No, Ishbal, I'm up now. What do you need? Do you need a peeing buddy? We can go.
No, I'm perfectly capable of peeing on my own. I've been doing it almost my entire life.
He shrugs. You know, it's been a weird few days. Like, if you needed a pal, I would not be surprised.
It has been a weird few days. And she, like, looks at Vellum and Josepha as they're walking towards Devante, and she says, I noticed some hand-holding and hair petting.
Is that going to be a problem?
No, it's not a problem. I'm just curious if, like, she looks at Sorrel, kind of shrugs and looks back at Spar. It's like how serious are things?
Is Merafina there, too, just, like, ping-ponging?
Oh, shit. Yeah, Merafina doesn't care.
Spar shrugs, and it's like, I don't know, it kind of depends on whether we all survive.
Yeah, that's a little bit what I'm worried about. I mean, look, I'm not going to tell you, I trust your judgment. Well, just your judgment on the battlefield, maybe not necessarily in love. But,
that makes two of us.
I guess I just, those two things have never mixed before.
Says you.
Well, in my experience, I should say.
Mm-hmm. Ishbala, I've been not dying nearly my whole life now.
Right. Okay. I just want to make sure, like, you know, you're positive that you can keep a clear head while feeling all mushy, because we're in some pretty serious shit, as you know. I'm not trying to infantilize you here, Spar. Like, I do trust and respect you. I just want to be the person who voices this, I guess.
Consider it heard.
Okay. Well, I don't mean to be a bitch. I just.
You do. Just not at me. It's one of your finer qualities.
Yeah, well, of course. Absolutely. Just, I don't, you know. The whole feelings thing is kind of lost on me. So, well, not all feelings, but those kinds. And so I just don't know, you know, how it's going to affect you out there.
Ishbala, I've never not been in love. And I've also never not been doing my best to protect people. It's not different.
I know. But if one of the people you're in love with is in the fight, does that not change the math?
Not really. Often when you're protecting someone, it's because the bad things are happening nearby them.
Okay.
And you've been teaching Vellum how to shoot.
Not my first rodeo.
I know.
And this one comes with a sword.
Yeah, that's true. Andy Falls says, honestly, I think more reasons for you to stay alive can only be a good thing, I guess.
Cool. Good talk.
And says, now I am going to piss. And she opens the door and gets out.
Yeah, he goes back to sleep.
Does Sorrel turn around and be like, Spar?
No, she lets him live.
Okay.
The only thing Sorrel's more passionate about than being a gossipy girl is Spar's self-care. So, you know, she's going to let him sleep.
Also, Destiny is sitting, maybe laying on his chest, so.
Aw.
Cute.
Sorrel loves it. There's a Sorrel-sized cat in the car. All right. We cut away to Vellum and Josepha heading over to the tree to old lady Wildermint. Yep.
Yes. Wimbledon.
Old lady Timbleton.
Oh, old lady thimble guns.
I said, this is behind the scenes lore. I said Wildermint because I was going to say Wildermount, but that's like a thing from D&D, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
So I didn't want to get sued by Wizards of the Coast. All right. Devante is definitely like having an emotional roller coaster between looking at Josepha and saying, nice to see you, looking at Vellum, being what the fuck is happening? Devante settles on Josepha and is like, hey, babe, did this guy, I don't know, tell you your eyes are too far apart or something?
This guy bothering you?
Josepha's like, what the fuck is happening? Devante, it's wonderful to see you. It's been a couple of days. Thank you for doing this. Anya's alive. I'm going to move some boxes. You two work out whatever weird tension is happening here, because I'm not going to be involved in this, whatever this is.
Poor Josepha. On the one hand, Anya is dealing with Spar, and on the other hand, now Devante is dealing with Vellum. Mm-hmm. And she just can't fucking catch a break.
No. She picks up both boxes simultaneously and says, is this everything, by the way? Devante's like, yep, I got their guns and various other gear. I think some clothes are in there. and also possibly a radio, or maybe not. It's really unclear. And Josepha continues to the car.
Oh, you got the radio.
Or not. It depends on whether you already have it or not.
Let's say they got the radio, because I think we left off with Gray using it.
Okay. Well, we'll find out when episode 29 is edited, and then some poor soul can edit this episode in a way that is coherent. Or not.
It's a lot of faith in just a random person who can say who it'll be. But,
who can say who it'll be.
Yep.
Yeah. I have the utmost faith in Theodore Cafenoche, our podcast editor.
Vellum will straighten up and nod at Devante and say, thank you for your help.
Yeah, you're welcome. I didn't know really who I was helping. I might have changed the math a little bit.
Vellum breathes. Look, it's been a long time. How did we even get off on the wrong foot? Do you remember? It's been long enough, I don't remember.
Yeah, you told my girl that her eyes were too far apart.
I did no such thing.
You 100% did.
No, I think I was telling her that she needed different glasses because the lenses were too close together for her eyes.
Yeah, that's what I just said.
No, as in, like, they weren't helping her and she was getting migraines from it.
That's not what she heard, I'll tell you that much.
Oh, God. I'm sorry. I genuinely did not mean it that way.
Look, we both lost our heads, for sure, in the whatever was going on between us back in the day. I should tell you, I was getting really close to throwing a rock through your window. But then I got a job at I started in the Firefighter Academy. I didn't really want to risk my opportunities there by getting in, you know, bringing our little game to the level of vandalism and assault, I guess. So,
you know, can I be honest?
It's been a long time. Yeah, go ahead.
I think I had a crush on you and didn't know how to handle it.
Well, you're not the first person to say that to me.
Mm.
Well, that's fine. Well, next time you get a crush on somebody, don't key their car. It's not flattering, in the least.
No, but that was...
I mean, it got my attention.
Well, you know, we both did a lot of stupid things.
Yeah.
If I had realized what was really going on, I would have handled it differently. I was a stupid kid at that time. Are we cool now?
Yeah, we're good. I mean, I really can't hate you that much. I was surprised to see you, but it's been, you know, 2 decades, thereabouts. And, you know, I still tell people the story of the time I kept putting free plant on your, like, the plants outside your house, and they kept getting taken. And you just kept putting new ones out there, and you didn't do anything. I don't even know if you knew about the signs. That lasted an embarrassingly long time. I gotta be honest. And, that's a good story. So, you know, I do tell that one.
Faintly from the car. Embarrassing for who?
Well, it's in the past.
Davante says, if I knew you were going to bring a hype man, I would have come prepared too.
I don't think he would have been able to hear that.
Davante says, well, it sounds like you may have broken my partner out of prison the other day.
This is true.
So I would say that we're exactly even. No one now owes the other one more or less. We're just exactly even. Truly neutral people, you know, to each other.
Sounds like a deal.
So good luck with whatever road trip y'all are on. And I don't know. I guess if everyone's sent ashore and you want to, you know, bond over the good old days, come find me.
go for a ride, maybe.
Yeah.
It's been a while. Velum will reach a hand out to handshake.
They take your hand and say, honestly, it's a little disappointing to see you've given up the life. You were one of the best.
You know, there's always the weekends.
They nod, and they get on their motorcycle, and all part ways.
Cool. Velum will go back into the car and say to Josepha, big misunderstanding on both of our parts. We're cool.
That's good to hear. It was really not good for me to see my partner act like a child. So I am glad to hear that this worked out.
You know, maybe when all this is over, we should all go out for a ride.
Yes, that sounds wonderful.
Velum nudges Spar.
Spar sits up and kind of tumbles Destiny into his lap a little bit, but, you know, makes room for Velum. Did we do it? Did we win?
Yeah, we got the boxes. Your guns are there. There's a revolver. There's some little tiny things. Is there anything else important that would have been left at the constabulary?
I don't think so.
Those are the important things. Possibly the radio.
Schrodinger's radio.
Mm-hmm.
So I know we had mentioned previously that some of this equipment had probably been confiscated, and I don't think we specified more.
Okay.
I do have a list if you want a list.
Do it.
Okay. There was grappling hooks disguised as pens, which I imagine Velum may have been able to keep because they were disguised as pens.
Uh-huh.
A net launcher. An aerial fight kit. A fold-out satellite that can map out a region. A tranquilizing blow dart gun, which Tati had taken.
Give back.
And extra bullets.
Wonderful. Okay. All of that is now in your possession.
Yay.
Also your suits badges are among the effects as well.
Also good.
Mm-hmm. I mean, not currently useful, but maybe sentimental.
Yeah.
And there's also an envelope, and Josepha hands it to you, says, there's a letter for you, Velum.
Oh. Does it look like it's in Gray's handwriting?
Sure does.
Cool. So this was a thing that I had wanted to say, but then we got off on what was in the boxes.
Mm-hmm.
And we can decide, I guess, whether we want to establish this or not. But I was thinking of when Velum nudges Spar to see if he had overheard them talking about going for a ride or not.
Does Velum ask?
Because
Spar's not going to say anything. He's just like, yep, I was definitely napping and now you're back. And so I'm waking up to like move over. Like, he's not going to say anything.
Okay. Before Velum opens the letter, he'll pet Destiny and look at Spar and say, have you ever ridden on a motorcycle?
Yeah, a couple times. Why?
I believe Devante and I, part of our agreement to bury the hatchet, go for a ride sometime. You should join us.
Do you? Keliot looks at Velum. Have a motorcycle?
Yeah.
How long have you had a motorcycle?
Orpok had through again and said, when I met this guy, he was a total biker.
Yeah. Back in college, I got my first bike and my first tattoos.
We'll have to put it in your file, Agent Velum.
Do you think it's relevant information?
It sure is relevant to me.
All right.
Sorrel said, Spar, imagine this. You are a student teacher traveling to Fossa Natura to give a lecture. And you ask, who's the smartest kid in this class? And everyone points to a guy with slick back hair and a yellow jacket and tattoos. It was truly the most shocking moment of my entire life.
That was the most shocking moment of your entire life.
There's been nothing more surprising than that.
Well, and he sort of like sniffs a little bit and like is definitely being like fake condescending at her.
Uh-huh.
And goes, I thought our parents taught you better than to judge by appearances.
And then she snaps her fingers and goes, oh, there was something with my mom that was a little bit more shocking now that I think about it.
Oh, really? Yeah. Huh. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know.
Hey everyone, I hope you're enjoying the episode so far. My name is Jordan Quiverance. I'm the host, a.k.a. the GM, a.k.a. the wingman of this podcast. You can find me on Twitter at Jordan Quiverance for some reason. Decreasingly so, but I go on there and I like retweet stuff sometimes. And you can find... That's it. That's actually the only place you can find me, unless you come to our Three of Hearts Discord, to which there is a link in the description.
Hey, Jordan, what are your pronouns?
They and them, if you must know.
Hey, Jordan, why don't you give us a fact about perhaps an NPC or the world we live in?
I actually haven't thought about it even a little bit. So if you guys could go at first, that would be wonderful.
All right. Hi, my name is Essay. I use she, her pronouns. I play Merim Felspar, who uses he, him pronouns. You can find me on Tumblr these days at Citrus and Salt, I think. I don't know. It's linked below. I don't need to know my own URL. I just go to the Tumblr and there I am. My fun Felspar fact for this week is that Spar technically knows how to operate vehicles. Mostly Ishbala does the driving. Mm-hmm. And if she's, you know, like, if she's been shot or something, like, he can do it. It's not pretty, but he sure can do it. Mostly, especially with motorcycles, Ishbala does the driving and he sits behind. Mm.
In dire circumstances, he could get them out of there.
Yes. And dire circumstances sometimes include Ishbala has had too many espresso martinis.
Okay, yeah.
But he's a very good passenger. He'll navigate for you. He does the thing on a motorcycle where he looks over your shoulder, so he leans his body weight with you in the right places, but not too much. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the driving, it's a little dicey sometimes.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, I say, did you introduce yourself or just go into a fact?
I introduced myself. Yourself. I even had
Oh, yeah, you did.
I'm even
sorry.
Had a whole bit.
Yeah, you're right.
I did a bit. There was a bit in there, Jordan.
I was too deep in the facts. I
can't believe you forgot me doing a bit.
I have my fact now. I'm gonna interrupt.
Okay.
Okay. When Devante was doing the free plants thing on Velm's doorstep every day. Someone who works in Governor Thorne's office picked a chrysanthemum and brought it to Governor Thorne as a gift, and she loved it. And so much that she, like, bought, like, really expensive, you know, old world magic soil to, like, keep the plant alive longer. And so to this day, there is still a chrysanthemum in Governor Thorne's office 20 years later that was stolen from Vellum's home.
We got to steal it back. New mission.
Forget Jack. We got more important things to do.
Mm-hmm. Hi, this is Ela Alexi. You can find me online at Ela Alexi. I play Agent Cowlin Vellum. He and I use they and he pronouns. This week's Agent Vellum fact. We know that Agent Vellum embroiders So his fancy leather jacket definitely had some embroidery on it. But also, in addition to embroidery, he sews occasionally, just little things, like little hand puppets or little hats and things for Destiny in the future, maybe. Yeah, he likes doing little crafts as kind of his relaxation part of the day.
Aww.
That is adorable. Before we get back to the show, I want to plug our Patreon, which I know happens in the credits, but it's also happening now. We have a Patreon at patreon.com/threeheartscast. And on that Patreon is a novella written by me, hopefully complete by the time this episode comes out. That's my called shot. And it's like over 20,000 words, and I'm really happy with it. And Devante, who was in this episode, technically debuted in that novella, although they're not in it a ton, but they are in it. And it's about Anya and Josepha and some relationship issues and also a magical hurricane. And you should read it. Thanks. Back to the episode. Woo! Is anything happening of note in the car while we're going?
I don't think so. Not from my end.
Okay. Ishbala discovers that this vehicle can pick up like radio stations, like from this world, not from our world.
You say obviously, but I'm not convinced it's obvious.
You're right about that. But yeah, it can pick up radios from the bicycle. But with a much larger range than you'd be able to pick up the stations actually in with a regular bicycle radio.
Mm-hmm.
And so she discovers this and is just delighted and is playing her favorite. What's a weird genre of music for Ishbala to be into?
Polka? Polka is, I think, a good standby weird genre.
Yeah, it's a polka station from Vasa Natura. Is reaching well outside of its range.
Oh, good.
So that's what everyone's subjected to in the car, unless anyone attempts to stop her.
It's familiar for Spar, so yeah, yes, that's fine. That's what driving with Ishbala sounds like.
Okay.
I think Vellum's had enough confrontations with everyone in the last 24 hours.
That makes sense.
I think he's just going to snuggle with Destiny and Spar in the back.
Mm. I would say maybe like Sorrel and Josepha are like just like idly chatting. Merafina has said like nothing on the entire ride pretty much, unless addressed. Well, except for that one ominous threat to Uncle Gray. You all hear on a particularly long stretch of road south of Clovenheart. I would say for a long time it is just like open roads, flat land all around as you drive through. But eventually things start to get definitely hillier as you start to get towards the mountain range that houses Stoneloft. Although it's still going to be like probably like it's getting late at this point because we did start later in the day because you guys woke up at like 2 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
So it's getting kind of late. We're trying to figure out like what we're doing for the night. And you all hear a booming voice as if it is coming from a megaphone.
Oh.
It says, I forgot the last name I gave this character. Oh, no, hold on. Give me, like, 30 seconds, everybody. Go into my mind palace. Yeah, so the voice booms. It's a woman's voice. And she says, attention, agents of suits. I am Nat Cobblestone of the Bramble Guard. By the legal authority invested in me by Governor Belladonna Thorne, and the divine authority invested in me by the goddess Solhalla. I demand you cease your driving at once, come out with your hands above your heads, and surrender yourself to the state, the city of Vasinatura.
No suits I didn't hear.
Ichbala is just striving forward and says, what should we do?
I mean, I was being a little bit sassy, but if Belladonna has abolished suits, then I don't see what they can arrest us for.
Mm-hmm. Ichbala's like, okay, but you know they're not going to see it that way, right?
No, I know.
As you get closer, the headlights illuminate in the distance a halfling who is just standing in the middle of the road wearing purple armor. She has, her head is exposed. She has dark skin and braided hair. And she is holding a broadsword in two hands, just like pointed at the ground, and is just like unmoving as the car approaches her. She says nothing more.
Lemmy and Vellum looks into the box and looks for the radio and tries to see if it's in working condition.
Okay. By the way, did you intentionally not read Gray's letter yet?
Oh, I forgot about it after we got back.
Okay, I will have to do that at a more natural point, I think.
We could do that as like a post-credits thing.
We could also use the power of rewinding.
Let's use the power of rewinding.
Okay. So before this announcement comes through?
Before all this happened, yeah. Okay. Sometime in the stretch between Cindershore and here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Vellum will open the letter from Gray.
It just says, Cowlin, comma. And then it says, I have done everything in my power to ensure you remain safe throughout my dealings with Providence and with the governor. However, she and I are not seeing eye to eye right now. This will help you. Beneath that part of the letter, there is a rune, like that would be associated with like casting a spell. And you know that you could like possibly input it into the TM radio. And it does not describe what the spell is, and it just says, sincerely, Uncle Gray.
Good and great. Love the help would be more help if I knew what this rune did.
Now, runes and spells are kind of like a language. Like, there's a rhyme and reason, and they can be read. So you could give me Intelligence Arcana to try to decipher it.
Yes. Vellum is going to study the rune.
Okay.
Intelligence is 4. Arcana is 4. 1 for healthy, 1 for eclectic. All the cards. All right. Okay, we got an ace, a jack, another ace, and a 3 of hearts.
Holy moly.
So that is 6 successes? Is that right?
Dang.
Because the crit is my charm plus 1.
Mm-hmm.
So that's 3, and then 3 other face cards is 6.
That's 6, baby.
Damn. All right.
So, for 6, okay, I'm going to give you something good.
Please do.
For 6, you uncover that it is a spell that's like about the refraction of light, and essentially it is an invisibility spell.
Ooh.
That can be cast over a moving area centered on the radio. And you actually realize that Gray is doing some clever things here with the way that the rune is crafted. And it is less likely to like result in error than this kind of spell normally would be. And so because you're picking up what Gray's putting down, you get 1 automatic success. And whenever you try to cast this particular spell.
Okay. Hey, Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
Is it too much to say that Vellum would bring this up and see if we wanted to cast it on the car?
No, it's actually ideal.
Cool. Let's do that.
I mean, I think we have to say you're considering that in this moment that you're being talked at, but yeah.
Sorry. To say that Vellum doesn't think about doing it until after we hear the Brambleguard person?
Is that okay?
I was asking ahead of time. I think it would occur to him in the moment, but if it was ahead of time, then maybe she wouldn't know where we were to begin with.
Right. So, okay. I mean, we've rewritten time before. Do you think a flip to see if it would even have occurred to you is good, or do you think it would just occur to you and you would do it?
I can flip and see if it occurs to me, but I also think Vellum would at least tell Spar, if not the rest of the car, what the letter says.
Yeah, I think Vellum's too smart for us to need to flip. Okay. Well, let me make this compromise then. I mean, you can't guarantee how long it's going to last. That depends on the quality of your cast. And the TM radio only has so many reuses a day. So you can, if you get a lot of successes, I'll say if you get like 4 successes on this flip, then it could last, you know, hours and you're good.
Okay.
But there's also the chance it would last like a few minutes and then, you know, not as effective.
Right. Okay.
And then you've burned a use of the TM radio.
Right. Okay.
So if you want to gamble on that, that's fine. But I'm just going to make it clear, like, that's the sort of the situation.
Right. Okay. Yeah, because I guess especially if he's not done this spell before, he wouldn't have a good grasp of how long it would last.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we talk about it in the car as something we can do, mm-hmm. but he doesn't decide to try it until we get pursued.
Okay. So I will say then, I think it's reasonable that you could attempt the spell after you hear her voice, but before you see her. So she hasn't maybe not seen you yet either.
Okay.
Or doesn't know exactly where you are. So are you going to go for it?
Yes. We hear the announcement. We decide. Vellum decides he's going to try to cast this spell. How do I cast spells?
It's going to be intelligence and...
Wit arcana?
No, I'm going to make it intelligence and stealth for this particular spell.
Is there anything that Spark can do to help?
Hmm.
Or Merafina, or Josepha, for that matter. It doesn't have to be Spar.
Ooh. Hmm. Yeah, I think Merafina would love this as a teaching moment. So, let's see how Vellum does, and if Merafina decides to intervene or not, based on that. Maybe she'll be impressed by Vellum doing super good.
Okay, so you said intelligence and sneaking?
Mm-hmm.
One for eclectic, one for healthy.
And I think you have a coffee card if you need it, right?
Yes.
I believe so, yeah.
I'm going to take my coffee card. Nothing. Right now, I'm sitting at a queen and a joker. And that's it.
Do you want to ante this joker and use some drive?
Yeah, I think so. Ante the joker, so we're sitting at a queen. There's one drive, that's another queen.
Queen of Hearts, by any chance?
No.
Okay.
There's a jack. That's 3 of my 6 drive. Should I keep going?
How many successes are we at?
3. Well, 4. Because I've got 2 queens, a jack, and then the auto success from earlier.
Then yeah, Jordan said that 4 is enough to give us hours of invisibility.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we'll do that. I've still got a few drive if we need it.
Okay. I like to say narratively, the drive was where Merafina came in, and she was like So you could do this, and you could do this, and it would, like, you know, make it a little bit more impactful. Yeah, I mean, to you guys, almost everything is the same, except that you see, like, a little shimmer in the air outside the car. But Vellum, you're very confident that the spell has worked, and worked well. So, and this is the point where each ball would actually see Nat and probably attempt to, like, go around her and not directly hit her, because we're trying to be stealthy.
Can Nat hear us approaching?
For 4 successes, I'm going to say even that is dampened. That's really good.
Ooh, nice.
Nat's eyes begin to glow yellow and white.
Uh-oh.
And I'm going to flip something. So Nat got a Queen of Hearts and a 3 of Hearts.
Fuck. Dang.
Which is equal to 4 successes. I would say you, like, in the back, both of you, like, through the window, you just see her, like, eyes just tracking you the entire time you drive past her. And her voice, as if amplified once again. Well, it is amplified, but she's not holding a megaphone or anything. Just says, "A pity." And she draws from her back a rifle and fires at the car.
Cool, cool, cool.
2, 3, 4. Okay.
Spar have his guns.
Mm-hmm.
From the box down.
Well, I think this is where the landing of the episode is going to come in. Hold on. Let me flip something for Ishbala, too. Okay. Ishbala got 1 success for something, and Nat got 2. So Nat draws a rifle and shoots at the tire of tomorrow's problem, which becomes right now's problem, as Ishbala is not able to, especially because she just went off-road to get around Nat. It's some bumpy road, and she starts to kind of swerve and is forced to brake to not hit a tree.
I have a question.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how this works for NPCs, but would Ishbala's dodge apply at all?
To the car.
I'm looking at I'll Cover You, the newer ultimate I took, which is essentially, right, like you shoot and it lets somebody have more dodge. That feels narratively applicable, which then leads me to say, feels like Ishbala's dodge would have some impact.
Okay. Okay.
And we used Vellum's dodge as the dodge for the truck.
NPCs don't have dodge as written.
Do you want to use one of ours?
Or if you guys want to do something to help Ishbala in the situation.
I can try to shoot back.
Okay.
Or try to shoot before she does.
Maybe you see her lining up the shot and you go to shoot.
Okay. What stat to go with shooting?
I think it's a simple agility firearms.
Would you give me wit firearms?
Ooh, or wit, because if you're not actually trying to hurt her and you're just trying to distract her, then I think wit is perfect.
Okay. So if I get 3 or more successes, then I can give an ally to dodge and
okay. Perfect. Perfect.
Either Ishbala or the car.
Yeah. Perfect.
Cool.
Okay.
Sounds good to me.
I like it.
Wit is 4 and firearms is 2, so that's 6. Healthy is 7. Would I know her name? Or was that just out of... Did she tell us her name?
She said her name was Nat to everybody, yeah.
Then can I have investigation for it? I know a character's name.
Absolutely.
All right. So that's 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 cards.
Woo.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Okay. 1, 2, 3. How many did I need? 3 or more. Okay. That's 3 successes and a joker.
Okay.
I'm going to flip my coffee card and some drive for 4 successes.
Nice.
Okay, 4 successes and a joker.
Mm-hmm.
Let me go into my mind palace. I think I have an idea, though. I think the joker is just that you do hit her. And then you learn maybe that's not ideal.
Mm-hmm.
A bullet, like, scratches her cheek.
Mm-hmm.
And then the same yellow-white light that's in her eyes, like, envelops your gun, and it gets super hot to the touch.
Mm-hmm. Oh, fun.
And you take maybe no damage. You cut off with a warning this time, mister, but it is really hot.
Good news is we got more guns.
Yeah. It goes away in an instant, but it's enough to, like, distract you for the moment still, even though it didn't do damage. Like, you have to drop it, you know, you can't already hold on to it. You know that if you did keep holding on to it, then it would do some damage to you.
Yep.
Each Bala is able to swerve out of the way, so the tire is not shot, and she hauls ass down the road, and you hear Nat shout the name Kalinda. Well, you don't necessarily know that it's a name, but it's a name. And for a second, it seems like she's not doing anything and that you guys are just getting significant distance on her. And then you see above you in the evening sky a giant heron that she is riding on the back of. And both Heron and Nat have the same glowing yellow eyes as they pursue your car down the road.
Three of Hearts is S.A. Monik Tola as Agent Felspar and our primary editor, Ila Alexi as Agent Vellum and our artist, and Jordan Quiverns as our host. We play a game called Space Kings, created by Kevin Cole and Super Tri Studios. You can purchase the game at spacekings.space. Our intro music is Dog Detective. Our mid-tro theme is At Last, a Piano, and our outro is Ghost Plus Guest. All of these tracks are by Louis Zong, and they can be found at louiszong.bandcamp.com. We also have a Patreon, which you can find at patreon.com/threeheartscast, all spelled out, that is T-H-R-E-E, heartscast. Support us for any price you can afford, and receive access to all perks, including gag reels, and to the opportunity to have an NPC named after you, as well as bonus episodes and written stories set in the world of our podcast. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back in 2 weeks.
Thank you to our patron, Nat, after whom Nat Cobblestone is named, but who also named Kalinda the Heron.
Oh, good work, Nat.